How would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can gather, Lord, to worship, Lord, to pray to you. Lord, we just thank you for the benefit, Lord, of community and, Lord, a gathered body of believers that love you. Lord, as we look at your word, Lord, we are thankful for it. Lord, we ask, Lord, give us ears, Lord, to hear, Lord, hearts to receive. Lord, help us to apply your word, Lord, to our life. And Lord Jesus, help us to see who you are. Help us, Lord God, to trust you more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this has been a big week for football. Yesterday was an exciting day with the Chiefs win, and so that was good. I just want you guys to know everybody in the country hates us right now, right, with the Chiefs. We were very angry at us. If you got online, you saw that. Well, tomorrow is the college football playoffs. I'm a big football fan, so this is a great time for me, and I love college football. And the two teams that are squaring off tomorrow is Notre Dame and Ohio State. And so these are kind of some of the heavyweights in college football. And one of the interesting things is both of these teams have losses, right? They lost in the regular season, but here they meet. But one of the things that may surprise you is the loss that Notre Dame has. If you're not familiar with this, a couple months ago in September, Notre Dame, this very historic football program, took on Northern Illinois, all right, the Huskies. And Northern Illinois defeated them, right? Northern Illinois was a 28.5 point underdog, but yet they beat this very historic Notre Dame team who at the time was ranked number 5 in the country. And so Northern Illinois, they shot up in the AP ranking. They were in the top 25. It was their first ranking since 2013, and this is the first time in the history of their school that they had beat a top 10 team. And so you can see in that picture, they're at Notre Dame. This team is so excited. But then, the next game they played was the University of Buffalo. Buffalo, a fine school, not exactly known for football, and Northern Illinois played them, and guess what happened? They lost, right? So they had this great win and then this great letdown, right? You know, if you played sports, maybe you've kind of encountered this, and it doesn't have to just apply to sports, but you have kind of your top moment. And then there is that potential for letdown. It might be middle school or high school or college, even the pros. We see these teams have this great win and then again a letdown. Well, what we find here with Abraham is he's had kind of this top 5 moment in his life, if you will. God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your homeland, your friends, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And amazingly, and we commend Abraham for this, he goes. It says in Hebrews, he goes not knowing where he was going, but yet he sets out. And so it's this milestone moment in Abraham's life. But then as we continue on in chapter 12, he has a test. He has this potential for a letdown. And so what we're going to look at is, will he trust God? But you know, in our own spiritual life, this is a very common experience. What Abraham faces, we face the same. I want you to think about some of your milestone moments, some of those high points in your own spiritual journey. All right, maybe for you, it was your baptism, right? For many of us, it's our baptism. I mean, what a great experience. This is something maybe decades ago, we still look back on and go, man, that was a wonderful experience. For many of us, it was maybe youth camp, right? I can still remember this. How great youth camp was, so excited to go. You just get kind of away from the world, all the distractions, and the Lord speaks to so many young people's lives. And I experienced that. Many of our kids and our teenagers this past year experienced that. Maybe it's a worship service, or it's just a touching time in your life. Maybe it's a different season. I can remember when I was around the age of 30. And there's nothing special about that age necessarily, but the Lord was really working in my life, and the gospel was kind of just taking on some new and fresh meanings in my life, and I still look back at that kind of high point in my life. But yet what often happens is we have those milestone moments, and then there's a test. So again, think of your baptism. Now, this doesn't necessarily apply to everybody, but I think we've seen this with our teenagers, at least some of them. We've seen this with some of our adults where they go through the waters of baptism. It's a big moment. It was exciting. Everybody's excited for them. But then in that next season of their spiritual journey, there's a great test, right? Maybe there's marital struggles. Maybe there's a financial issue. We see this with Jesus. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew, what we find is Jesus is baptized. He goes through the waters of baptism, not because he was a sinner, but he's identifying with us. And just as we need to be baptized, he was baptized. And as he's coming out of the water, God the Father says, "You are my son. With you, I am well pleased." I mean, if there was ever a milestone moment, this would be it. But what we're told in the Gospel of Matthew is right after Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit drives Jesus into the wilderness for what? A time of testing. The great moment, and then this time of testing. And this, again, is what we often encounter. We have that wonderful experience, but we need to know that there will be a time of testing in our faith, and the test is often this. Will we continue to trust God? And this is what Abraham is facing, this wonderful moment. But now, will he continue to trust God, or will there be a letdown? In our time together, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to be starting in verse 10, if you have that. So Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 10. And we're going to break this up into about three sections, okay? All right, here we begin with this, the test of Abraham, all right? Verse 10, now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham, he'd get his name changed later, went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. Abraham goes to the land of Canaan, kind of think of Israel today, kind of that area, okay? There's this harsh famine, and so Abraham goes down to Egypt. Now, Egypt with the Nile River and all the resources that they have, we see this over and over again in the biblical account with the patriarchs, right? Abraham here and Jacob and his family later. Even the nation of Israel, when things would get hard, they would go to Egypt. We think of Jesus himself, how his earthly father, Joseph, right after kind of Jesus was born, Joseph is warned in a dream of King Herod, who's killing all these, you know, young baby boys. And the angel says, you know, you need to get out of here. You need to go to Egypt. And so Egypt was often an escape and provided protection. And many times God would say, go to Egypt. But yet there are other times in the history of Israel where they were not to go to Egypt. They were to rely on God for his protection, but often they would not seek the Lord and they would just go to Egypt without consulting God. And with Abraham, we're not told if he should go there or not. God had told him, this is the land I have for you, but now there is this severe famine, and so he goes to Egypt. And so there's debate. Was this the right decision? Should he have done this or not? But he goes there. He's going to spend some time there. So it's not just a few days, but he's also not going to be there forever. But again, should he have gone? And while, again, there is debate about this, what we do know from the text is this. He did not seek the Lord. Right? In the previous section, Abraham goes to Canaan, he worships the Lord, he seeks the Lord, but in this circumstance, when things are difficult, he does not approach God. You know, for you and I, often the first question is not this the right or wrong decision? The first question for us should be, did I seek God's wisdom and counsel? Right? So think of that maybe difficult situation financially or some relationship. Right, what do we often do? We're going to take care of it ourselves, and we don't seek the Lord's counsel. And many times when we do this, it just has some really devastating consequences. And so what we need to understand, what we need to be warned from with Abraham is he just goes without seeking God. And when times are tough, when you are tested in your faith, do you seek God? Do you pray to him? Do you cry out for his wisdom? Well, this test we're going to see now turns into this failure of Abraham. We continue and we look at verse 11. And we find this. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you." Now, if there was any debate if Abraham should go to Egypt or not, what is clearly wrong is what Abraham tells his wife Sarai or Sarah. As part of God's promise to Abraham found in verses 1 through 9 of Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was told that his offspring would inherit the land of Canaan, that they would become a great nation. And at this point in the story, Abraham and Sarah have no children, okay? And so they're going to need a child. And with Abraham telling his wife to deny that she is his wife, he is putting her at extreme risk. Abraham is putting the promises of God at extreme risk. I mean, what if Sarah is taken by Pharaoh? He marries her and she becomes pregnant. Right? The promise would be totally ruined. But Abraham is not thinking about that. He's worried about himself. Again, God had given him all these amazing promises. He's told about all these astonishing blessings, right? He has this mountaintop experience, but when tested, he's fearful. When he's tested, he's self-reliant. And so he comes up with this ruse. He says, Sarah, hey, when we enter the land, they're going to see how beautiful you are. Tell them you're my sister. If you tell them you're my sister, they won't kill me. Abraham is saying, baby, you are so good looking, it's dangerous, all right? Now, guys, this is a good line. Honey, right? This is the line. Honey, you look so good, it kills me, all right? I mean, this is what Abraham's saying, but he means it. I mean, he's going to die. That's at least what he's fearful of. And so he says, hey, tell them you're my sister. I don't want to be killed. And Sarah goes along with it, right? She goes along with it. But let's continue this, right? It doesn't get good here. Verse 14, when Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle and male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. So as they enter Egypt, they do notice how beautiful Sarah is, right? She is a beautiful woman. And because of this, word begins to spread, and the servants of Pharaoh, they go to him, and so he takes her, and it looks like he wants her to be his wife. And so what happens is all these possessions start coming Abraham's way. It seems to be some type of maybe bridal price, okay, because Pharaoh again's intending to marry Sarah. But here's what really is so interesting and kind of shocking is here's Abraham being disobedient, putting the promises of God at risk, putting his wife at risk, but yet he's blessed. And there's a warning here for each of us. See, often when things are bad, we think, okay, did I do something wrong? Right? Our circumstances are hard and we begin to reflect in our heart. Am I following the Lord? Did I do something? Is there some sin in my life? But when things are good, we often don't examine our heart, right? We have the career we want. The family is going great. And so these are blessings of the Lord. And so thank the Lord for that. But yet in every season, in every area of our life, we need to take times to examine our heart. And so Abraham, he could have thought, hey, everything is going wonderful. I must be doing the right thing. But yet he wasn't. He was being disobedient to God. But there's something else that we need to note. And many commentators make this point about all these possessions Abraham receives, right? The flocks and the herds and the servants, all of this stuff. All these possessions he acquires here, though, they become very significant issues for him later. As we move into chapter 13, because of these possessions with the animal and the livestock and everything, Abraham becomes very rich. His nephew Lot, he benefits from this. And so he becomes very rich. And there's this conflict between Abraham and Lot and their herdsmen. It's kind of like the Wild West scene. And we're going to look at that next week. But when we get to chapter 16, I think this is the most significant, is Abraham and Sarah are still waiting for that offspring. Sarah is still not pregnant. And it's been years and years, and they grow impatient. And so Sarah tells Abraham, I have this maidservant, Hagar. I want you to marry her and have children by her. Where was Hagar from? It's Egypt. So many commentators believe that it's during this time that they acquire Hagar. And then later, it just has these devastating consequences as she does become pregnant with Ishmael. And all this conflict that this family would have, it's just awful. And we'll explore that as we go in the life of Abraham in this series. But what you and I need to understand is this, is not only does our disobedience have consequences, I think we would all agree with that. But it's this, our consequences, some of them at least, will linger and affect us the rest of our lives. We're forgiven, and we thank the Lord for that. What a blessing. But yet there are decisions that we make that will linger with us for the rest of our lives. And this is what happens to Abraham. I just want to get real kind of practical here and just give you some examples, but I would encourage you to be thinking through maybe some of the things you've done. But I also want to encourage you, don't do some of these things so that it doesn't linger. Those consequences don't linger for your life, especially this first one for some of our young people. Pornography is kind of sweeping through our nation and it's affecting our churches, and we can all struggle with this at different points. But one of the things is even non-believers are catching on to how devastating this can be. And there are all these studies of just how bad it is. And how those images, when you look at them, it's really seared into your mind. And it could be years or decades later, and that one image you looked at can come back that quick, that quick. See, this is a consequence. This is something that lingers. And so we thank the Lord for his forgiveness. But yet we need to understand the consequence of something like that. We think of relationships with others. That harsh word is said, right? Something we shouldn't have said. And there's forgiveness, maybe there's even reconciliation, but yet that harsh word, we still remember. Or that other person we said it to, they still remember it. Maybe there's some area of trust where maybe you are dishonest or somebody was dishonest to you. And again, there can be forgiveness, but yet maybe you never trust that person the same, or they never trust you in the same way. So I want to ask you just here quickly to reflect on what are some decisions you've made that those decisions are still lingering, those consequences are still lingering. And in many ways, we can't do anything about that. But yet we can start now. And when we're faced with that test, when we're faced with that sin that we think might please us, whatever it may be, that we push it away. And we say, not only does it not please God, but there's going to be consequences for that, for what I look at, for what I say. And so it's a great example for us from Abraham. Again, not only the consequences, but how they can linger. And so let us push back and let us fight in those instances. And so in this moment for Abraham, he's facing this test, he's failing this test, it's just a negative episode. We're not going to end on a negative note, okay? It gets a little bit worse, but we're gonna see how Abraham returns back to the Lord. I just love this. But a little bit more negative here, I guess. Look at verse 17. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and on his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. He says, "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Though Abraham stumbles, he messes up, I mean, let's call it what it is, he sins, God remains faithful. God had told Abraham, you're going to be a great nation. Abraham is stumbling here, but yet God is steadfast in his commitment. He is faithful in his promises that he gave to God, and we thank him for that. And so, as this plays out, Pharaoh, somehow we're not told, he realizes Sarah is Abraham's wife. This disease had kind of swept through Pharaoh and his household. This was to protect Abraham and Sarah so that there would not be sexual intimacy between Pharaoh and Sarah. And so it comes to light that Sarah is Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh, he's irate. He's upset about this. And he sends Abraham out. It says Pharaoh's men really kind of drove him out. What an embarrassment for Abraham, right? All these promises. God's chosen one, but he leaves in embarrassment. But then we find this as we move into chapter 13. We find this in chapter 13, verse 1. It says, so Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So again, Abraham fails. He sins. He leaves in embarrassment, you know, with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. You got to kind of wonder what Sarah's, you know, saying to him, I told you this would happen. You know, this wasn't going to be good. Maybe she's not saying anything at all. She's just giving him the cold shoulder, and rightly so. And so as Abraham leaves, kind of defeated, embarrassed, we're told he retraces his steps. Where he had been before, where he worshiped God and built an altar and called on the name of the Lord, we are told he retraces his steps and goes back there. See, Abraham, he had this downward spiral into Egypt. But then he goes up, physically goes back and retraces his steps. I want to ask you right now, maybe you're in a season where you've failed the Lord. There's some sin in your life. Maybe you're what we sometimes call it, you're backsliding. See, in our spiritual journey, we're either moving forward or back. Now, sometimes when we're moving forward, it's by leaps and bounds. Other times, we're just kind of staggering, right? But at least we're moving forward. But maybe for you right now, you're taking a step back and a step back and a step back. And what we're to learn from Abraham is to retrace your steps. Go back to the Lord. Call upon his name. And what's this look like? Well, one would be confessing your sin. Right, one of the things we can do is hold on to our sin. But instead, we need to quickly confess it to the Lord. Pour it out before him. Rely on his grace, and he will forgive you. It may mean that you open up your Bible this week, and you just begin to read it and to meditate on it. You may pull up, you know, whatever music you listen to as far as Christian music, and just dwell on the lyrics. Praise the Lord on your drive to work. But it also may mean going to a special place or meeting with somebody that has been so influential in your faith, right? So for me, in our basement, I have a blue recliner chair. It's my prayer chair, all right? And so at times when I've not prayed maybe in a few days, and sometimes that's me, maybe it's been busy, whatever, you can feel it. Right? You're not following the Lord. I need to go to my chair in my basement and pray to the Lord. I need to cry out to the Lord. I need to confess my sin to the Lord. And so maybe for you, it's a chair. Maybe for you, it's a room. And if you don't have that, I would encourage you to build that into your spiritual discipline, that this is the place that I go to meet God. Now, is God everywhere? Of course. But yet this place for you, maybe a special place. Maybe for you, though, it's not only a special place, it's a special person, right? You met with that person for coffee or whatever it may be, and you study the Bible Or maybe you called each other or texted each other. But for whatever reason, you kind of drifted away from that. Maybe you need to seek out that person and say, I'm kind of dry in my spiritual life. Would you meet with me again? I want to retrace my steps again. Would you help me grow in my faith, grow in my trust? Help me get past that dry season in my life. And so for you, maybe what is that place you need to go to? Maybe for you, who is that person that you need to reach out to this afternoon? All right, don't wait till Friday. Do it today. Retrace your steps. What we find in this story with Abraham is he had this milestone moment, and then he fails. And if you think in your spiritual journey it's just going to be all these great moments, you're mistaken. You're going to have times where you fail. But thankfully, God is faithful to us, that his grace remains, that his mercy remains, that he loves us so much, he puts people in our life to help bring us back to him. And so in our last few moments together, I want to ask you if you'd close your eyes and bow your head for a few moments. And I want to give you some time to reflect. We've been doing this a little bit more recently. Just one of the things kind of pressing on my heart is just how busy we all are. Just rushing from one thing to another, maybe one kid activity to another, work and all the rest. And so here on Sunday morning, if we can just take a few moments to reflect, just take a breath. So I want to ask you a couple things. Do you sense you're in a period of testing or trial? Are your circumstances right now difficult? I would encourage you to seek the Lord. To rely not on your own wisdom, but seek his. Maybe for you, it's a wonderful season in your life, and thank the Lord for that. We don't want to feel guilty for that. But I would ask, are the good things that the Lord is blessing you with, are they drawing you closer to him or away from him? Maybe for you, you are in a season of backsliding. You're just taking this kind of slow walk away from the Lord. It can begin by not coming to church. It's consistent, and then you don't read your Bible, don't pray. Maybe it's a conflict with somebody you love and it's kind of turned you off from praying for a while. Retrace your steps back to the Lord. Confess your sin. Is there a place or a person that you need to get with, to grow in your faith? Is there maybe somebody you see in your life that they're struggling and they need you to reach out to them and say, hey, why don't we get together? Why don't we study God's word? Why don't we just pray and share our struggles with each other? Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, both the negative and the positive example of Abraham. Lord, how the negative can warn us. But Lord, how the positive, Lord, we can look to him and Lord, we can follow suit. Lord, help us to retrace our steps back to you. Lord, help us not to run from you, but know that, Lord, you are calling out to us. Lord, you desire us to return. Lord, we thank you for how patient And Lord, how loving you are. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, your amazing love for us. And we pray and we ask all this, Lord Jesus, in your name.